Good morning. Gvaljun tia ola welcome nun and yunt bedanken dat je komen zant van deel smarius tum met ons ola taup en Gottes woord nantjeken en zijn woord hij ola voor ons haft van deel. Je nood met yunt en vrede van God onzen voda en onzen harn Jezus Christus. Vandaag is de voorbereiding of de Preparation Sunday. En dit zegt ons dat avondmaal bald hier is. Maar wat is voorbereiding? Of te wat doen we ons reinmerken? En wat doen we ons reinmerken? Dit zijn Wessen van de timer wat we van deel worden nog checken uit de schrift. En de Bibel heeft veel te zijn, wenn ons rijden merken. Dat ganze leven hier is rijden merken voor dat wat er komt. En we worden uit de schrift wat geschichten lezen, wat ons wiesen wat er passiert, wann wir nicht reit sind. Und wir wollen sein, dort, das nicht bloß, wir dürfen nicht bloß einmal reit merken und dann sind wir bloß einmal reit. Aber das meint, dass wir uns Lebenszeit reit holen für die Zeit, wo Jesus war, zurückkommt. Aber eher wie nur der Andacht gehen, wo wir anfangen mit was leider, aber wer will erst beten? Ans himmlischer Vater, wir sind sehr dankbar für diesen schönen Tag, was die uns gegeben haben. Wir sind dankbar für das Leben, was wir haben und für das, all die Sehens, was wie kriegen. Und wir freuen bloß zu von der Osmarius, dass wir würden klar denken können, dass wir uns die Schrift würden können rütholen für uns selbst. Wir freuen, dass du würden nicht mehr kommen, dass unsere Gedanken würden hier an der Schrift sein und nicht anders werden. Und Jesus, wir freuen für die Kraft, das auszuleben, was wir lernen. In Jesus' Namen, Amen.
Mein Gott, ich trete mit Freuden. Nummer 422.
Vergangene Nacht, so gnädig mich bei ihm. Nummer 594, wacht auf, ihr Christen, Leute. 494.
Wat is ovendmaal? Wanneer we ons willen rijdmerken te Eerns Wort, dan moeten we weten te wat we ons willen rijdmerken. Merken we ons rijd om te arbeid voeren, of merken we ons rijd om te kerk voeren, of merken we ons rijd om op een reis voeren. Dat is wichtig dat we weten te wat we ons rijdmerken doen. En wie merken ons rijd voor ovendmaal? Wat is ovendmaal? Op Engels zei we communion. En dan dit het woord wat we vielleicht bestemmen met dat we gemeenschap zijn. Communion, or a Gemeinschaft, and mit, we have a golden relationship, would we say in English. We have nicht Angst vor den anderen, or we have that nicht zwischen uns. Aber welcher, mit wem will we Gemeinschaft haben? Og ovenmål er så at vi gemeinschaft med Gott haben. Adam und Eve im Garten hatten Gemeinschaft mit Gott. Da wir nicht zwischen End und Gott. Aber dann auch sei, ihr sind hoden je in Gott. Dann wird die Gemeinschaft nicht dort, wo es soll sein. In 1. Mose, Kapitel 3, Vers 8, sagt es, aus der Dach anfängt aufzuteilen, hierden sei der Herr Gott seine Stämme, aus Hei durch dem Garten ging. In der Morgen und der Früh verstürken sich von dem Herrn Gott, mangt die Bäume am Garten. Hier tja, wie sein dort, die verstürken sich. Da wird keine Gemeinschaft mehr. Da durch ja wir lernen dort, wann uns Leben nicht so erstes dort gehört, wann wir unsere Sünde nicht abgeriemt haben für Gott, dann verstärken wir uns auch, dann haben wir Angst. Und wir haben nicht Gemeinschaft mit Gott. In 1. Mose, Kapitel 5, Vers 24, sagt er, Henoch lebt in Gemeinschaft mit Gott, und dann verschwung er, Gott hat am Weichen um. So Enoch, oder Henoch, der hat so Gemeinschaft mit Gott, dort hat er nicht mehr sterben brückt, Gott nahm am aus dieser Welt rührt. So eine dichte Gemeinschaft mit Gott, es wird Gott will für uns haben. So, wenn wir Abendmahl haben hier in der Kirche, wir haben Gemeinschaft mit Gott, aber wir haben Brüder und Schwestern hier in der Kirche. Wir als Christen haben alle denselben Futter. Und mit diesem Futter werden wir alle Gemeinschaft haben. Und in der Familie bin, wenn du nicht Gemeinschaft hast mit einem mit den anderen, dann hast du kein Frieden im Haus. So wollt ja wir das sicher merken in uns Leben, dort wie so eine Gemeinschaft mit Gott haben, was er von uns verlangen wird. Und wenn ich weiß, von dieser Wut nicht ganz reicht, brücken würde, dann kann ich mich noch hier sein. Ich würde proben, bastet Eva zu bringen, dass ich das verstehen würde. In 1. Korinther, Kapitel 10, Vers 16 und 17, sagt er dann, dort gesehene Abendmahlskuffel, dort wie sehnen, erst dort nicht Port haben und Christus seinem Blut, dort Braut, dort wie brechen, erst dort nicht Port haben und Christus seinen Körper, willst du ein Braut es, sind wie viele aller taub ein Körper, willst wie alle an dem einem Braut teilnehmen. So hier tja wie sein, der wird gerat sind von ihren Sünden, sind alle Familie taub. Und wir sollen alle Gemeinschaft taub haben. Und warum ist es dann wichtig, dass wir uns reinmerken dort? In 1. Korinther Kapitel 11, Vers 26, der 32, schriftet so. Jedes Mal also, wenn je dit Brot eten und von dit Kuffel trinken, sei je damit, dort de Herr gestorben ist und dort so lang, bat hei waret jamt. Wir sollen diese gute Nachricht in dieser Welt ausleben und verbringen, bat hei trinkt. Wer von dit Brot und von dem Herrn sein Kuffel trinkt und lebt nicht so, als sich dort gehirt, verschuldet sich dadurch um Herrn sein Blut und Körper. Dadurch lässt jeder Mensch sich selbst einer Segen und dann von dort Brot eten und von dort Kuffel trinken. Wie es wer so eten und trinken tät, dort hat Christus sein Körper und sein Blut nicht achten tät, der bringt dadurch dort gerecht über sich. Dort ist, wo wir je so viel Schwache und Kranke mangelt haben. In ein Schauf sind gestorben. Wenn wir uns selbst rechten würden, würden wir nicht gerechten wollen. Wenn wir aber vom Herrn gerecht wurden, wurden wir dadurch treicht geholfen, dort wir nicht mit der Welt taub verdammt wurden. So, was meint all das? Hier tja, wir sein dort, wir sollen uns reit merken, dort wir so leben, dass Gott dort von uns verlangen wird. Das ist dort, dass Gemeinschaft mit Gott nicht gebrochen ist. In 3. Mose, Kapitel 16, Vers 1, der ich saß, Schrift hat so. Der Herr redet mit Mose, nachdem aus Aaron seine zwei Sehns sich dem Herrn genodert haben und gestorben wären. Und seht, sei dein Bruder Aaron, dort hei nicht taufirken in dort Heiligtum hinge de Gerdin jet, wo dort Versöhnungsdeichsel ab der Kist ist. Hei kun du der storven, wiels du wies ek mi en de Wolk bova dat Deichsel, wat ab de Bundeskist licht. Bloß so durf Aaron in dort Helje nangon, mit einen jungen Ball zum Sündopfer und einen Schopsbock zum Brandopfer. Hei soll sich dann Helien Rock von Linsech antreiken, in Bexen von Linsech sollen seine Schonden bedeiken. Und hei soll sich eine Bing von Linsech anbingen und de Kappbing von Linsech rum den Kappbingen, wie's dort sind die heilige Kleider. Und hei soll sein Charpa im Wotaboden und dann die Kleider antreiken. Und hei soll von den versammelten Israeliten zwei Kosenbeik nehmen zum Sündopfer und einen Schopsbock zum Brandopfer. Und Aaron soll einen Ball aus dem Sündopfer bringen, dort hei für sich und seine Familie Versöhnung verschafft. So hier tja, wir sein dort, Eier heiken für Gott kommen in dieser Stove, wo der Bundeskiste stand, muss er sich dort herein merken. Eier heiken für Gott stehen, muss er sich reinwaschen und die rechte Kleider antragen. Dort er nicht sterben wird. Das ist ein Vorbild für uns. Eier wie für Gott kommen, muss wir uns auch die rechte Kleider antragen. Die Kleider sind das erste Seligkeit von Jesus Christus. Wie von uns selbst können uns nicht rein genug waschen, dass wir reit sind zum Vergottstun. Aber durch das Blut, was Jesus für uns ausgegossen hat, können wir rein sein und Vergottstun. Wir können hier in dieser Geschichte sein, dass Aaron seine zwei Jungs starben, weil sie proben, dass sie zu tun, was sie dort wollen haben. Nicht so zu tun, als was Gott verlangen hat. Und dort starben sie. Das ist, wo wir uns selber reit merken. Wir haben einen Gott, wir verstehen nicht, wo heilig Gott ist. Und wir proben, fair und fair Gott zu kommen, ohne dass wir uns reit merken. Wir glauben unsere Sünden, das ist gut so schlimm, das Wort Gott uns alle zu Gott holen. Aber wenn wir in der Schrift lesen, ich habe gesehen, dass da wollen keine so eine Sünden im Himmel nankommen. Eier wie wieder mit diesem Thema gehen, wo wir ab Stelles beten, ab Knieis. So für das Ernstwort, was wir ab dem Hort haben, werden wir alle taub beten. In Jesus' Namen, Amen.
Please take your red books and turn to page number 40. All glory be to God on high. Number 40, can we stand, please? Take him for his goodness.
In the first part of the message, we looked at what it means to be prepared to take part in communion and how our heart must be right before God in order for us to have proper fellowship or communion with God and also with our fellow believers. And if that fellowship is broken because of sin or because of bad attitudes or because of pride, it breaks up the family. In this second half of the message, we are going to continue with the topic of preparation, but we're going to look also at preparation for the future. In the same way that Aaron had to prepare himself before he could go into the Holy of Holies, he had to be washed and clothed properly. The same way we also must prepare ourselves to come into the presence of God, not just for Holy Communion, but also for another event that is on the horizon, that is coming. That is the return of Jesus Christ to come for his bride and to take us home to be in his presence forevermore. So let's look at what it means to be prepared for this major event. And this day is coming quickly. And for this one, we're going to look at an example found in Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13. A familiar story. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, and 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." In this example, we read about these 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. What was the difference between them? What made 5 of them wise and 5 of them foolish? Well, if you looked at them from the outside, you would not know the difference. They were all, I'm sure, dressed very well. Their lamps were polished. Their hair was done. They looked really good. They were waiting for this wedding. But there was a big difference. And that difference was to be found on the inside of their lamps. 5 of them had neglected to put any oil in their lamps. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 5, we read, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such they looked the same." So you could say they had a form of godliness. Outwardly, they looked good. But they had denied the power thereof. They had no power in their lamp to produce light. There was no oil in their lamp. This is a big difference, even though it's outwardly not visible. So who are these virgins referring to? Well, once a virgin was betrothed to be married, they were expected to keep themselves pure for their bridegroom until he came to get them. Pure, undefiled, set apart, disciplined, unencumbered. This is what God desires of us when we are waiting for him to return. You know, it says all 10 were virgins. Outwardly, there was nothing to distinguish one from the other. But there was a flame missing on 5 of the lamps. The lamps that they used were often made of terracotta. That word terracotta means baked earth. So basically it was like a clay that had been baked in the shape of a lamp, and they used that, they filled it with oil, and that was their lamp. So why do I bring that up, that these were baked earth lamps? Well, if we look at 2 Corinthians 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So here we are instructed to let our light shine, that light that God has given us, to let that light shine out of the darkness and not to hide it. We're not supposed to hide it under a bushel. And then it says in verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, baked earth. That oil, that light, that gospel. We are those earthen vessels. We are made of dust. We are made of the earth, as we read in Genesis, when God created Adam out of the earth and breathed life into him. And so here we can see we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So you can see that the light was not to come from the virgins. The light was to come from the flame produced by the oil in their lamps. And so the way we live our lives, we can wash ourselves clean on the outside and we can look good. We can come to church. We can be outwardly virgins, we could say, or Christians. But unless we have placed our trust in the blood of Jesus Christ and his righteousness for salvation, there will be no flame in that lamp. There will be no standing before Jesus Christ on judgment day if his blood has not cleansed us from our sins. We are not to be among those five foolish who thought that they could earn their way in to the marriage. The door was shut, and they were not allowed. We can see in this passage that the gospel is a light. This world is dark, and we need to hold forth this light for the world to see it. And this treasure that we have in earthen vessels, this oil, is not something of our own making. But it is something that we have to be filled with from outside of ourselves. The virgins did not have the oil. They had to receive the oil. It's not something that we can boast about because it came from somewhere else. A lamp without a flame is a useless thing. It only shows its potential. You look at a lamp and you know that thing is there to produce light. So we see the potential. But if there's no flame, it does not benefit us. It does not illuminate anything. It does not help those who see it. If we look at our own lives and we see that there is no flame, it could be an indication that we have an empty lamp. The good news is there is an unlimited supply of that life-giving oil. We are told in Scripture that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it also tells us that God desires that all men and women should be saved. And so he has made provision for everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever, meaning it's open to everyone, even to our worst enemies. And so, this oil is available to all of us. You know, we saw that putting our trust in our lamps was useless, because those lamps are just baked earth. That means that's like putting our faith in ourselves for salvation. We're putting our faith in baked earth, or earth that was formed by God into mankind, and rather than the Creator. In Matthew chapter 7, Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23. Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So there we can see outward beauty does not gain you eternal rewards. He said, I never knew you. Even though they had done all these marvelous things, they thought that they were going to be worthy of eternal life because they had been good people. And God says, I never knew you. Don't put your trust in the lamp. Put your trust in the one who can fill. Be sure that we are burning brightly, that we are prepared for the return of Christ, so that we are found to be fruitful. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, Jesus says, it says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He says to repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then in James chapter 4, James chapter 4, verse 6 to 10. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You know, God giveth more grace. If we humble ourselves and come before the Lord in repentance, he promises to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We cannot earn our way to heaven. But if we in humbleness come before him and put our trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, then it says, we shall be saved. And then we can have that communion or that unity with God and with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And sometimes, even after we've been saved, we make choices that are not healthy. Or we do things that we shouldn't, or we think thoughts that we shouldn't, or we find ourselves grumbling or complaining. And all of these things put a wedge between us and God so that our fellowship is not as sweet as it could be, that our relationship is not as close as it could be. And so we must do maintenance. We must lay these things at the foot of the cross and allow that life-giving oil to be replenished so that our lamps keep burning brightly and that we can be a good example in this world. Union with God in our communion services that are coming up, and this is not the only time when we have communion with God. We have fellowship with God. We should have communion with God every day. And so we should be always preparing our hearts to maintain that sweet communion. And let's also keep looking forward to that great day that is coming when we shall all be joined together with him, when we shall meet him in the clouds, that we are taken to be with our bridegroom, that door is not shut in front of us. Let's look forward to that day. Jesus says, behold, I come quickly. Let's not be caught unprepared and hear the words, I never knew you. In closing, I'd like to read Revelation 19. Verses 7 to 9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. We are the bride of Christ, the wife that is referred to here. It says, his wife hath made herself ready. This is talking about preparation. And that marriage of the Lamb is coming. And then in verse 8 it says, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. We read about Aaron, how he had to dress in the linen clothing before he could go into the Holy of Holies. He had to be washed, he had to be clothed. And here it says that we will be given that fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. This is the righteousness of Jesus Christ that we must put on to be saved, not our own righteousness, but we are to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and here we will be given that clean, white linen. And then in verse 9 it says, and he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. This is true. This is not a fairy tale. This is not just something we talk about in church. This is the truth. This is coming. This is happening. This is real. The Lord is coming back. Are we living in fellowship with Him? Have we Gemeinschaft mit Gott? Or are we doing our own thing, living our own life, doing whatever we feel like doing? When our spiritual relationship with God feels kind of dry, it's time to examine ourselves and check our oil level. And let's go to the one who can refill that oil and who will bless us with that life-giving flow that can only come from Him. Let's bow for a closing word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that You have revealed to us the truth, that Your promises are not hidden. Lord, help us to be humble and to receive Your word and to allow You to fill our lamps so that we can burn brightly in this dark world. We thank You and we praise You in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'd like to give us all the opportunity again to kneel for a silent word of prayer. So for those of you who are able, please kneel for a word of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Again, take the red book, turn to page 309. Take the name of Jesus with you. Number 309.
Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet. King of kings in heaven, crown him when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, hope of earth and joy of heaven.
Well, I'd like to thank you all very much for coming and taking part in this worship service this morning. It is a blessing to be here with you today, and my wish is that you have a blessed Sunday. I'd like to leave you with a benediction taken from Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. You may now go with the peace of God.